Remember back on January 27th, 16 state attorneys general, all of them Democrats, filed a brief in federal court to stop the new President Trump's executive order that aimed to temporarily ban many refugees and immigrants from entering the country, the travel ban. Well, since then, at least 19 AGs have launched more than a dozen lawsuits, about one every 2 weeks, to challenge President Trump's efforts on environmental rules, student loan regulations, funding the Affordable Care Act. The state attorney general's job has always been defined as protecting state interests. Is that role changing? Is that a good thing? Well, according to conservative commentator Charles Krauthammer, it is. He's written, in effect, somebody's got to step in when Congress won't. Paul Nolet is a professor of political science from Marquette University and author of Federalism on Trial, State Attorneys General and National Policymaking in Contemporary America. Let's see what he thinks. Professor, welcome.
Great to talk with you.
And give us a little backstory here. This did not start with these current Democratic attorneys general. The day that Obamacare, as it's now been embraced by the Obama administration, was signed into law, 13 Republican AGs filed suit. They were joined by another dozen. So this is not new.
That's right. And like you said, with the Affordable Care Act, probably the biggest single piece of legislation through the Obama administration, 5 minutes after it was signed into law, Republicans had a lawsuit ready to go. After that, in the years of the Obama administration, right to the end, there were dozens of suits coming from Texas and Oklahoma and West Virginia and many other states as well, led by Republican AGs pushing back against the Obama administration in a number of ways. So what we're seeing with the Democratic AGs is not entirely new. We saw this in the last administration as well.
Well, and in the last administration, they were successful, the Republican AGs. They didn't overturn Obamacare, but they were able to get the Medicaid expansion, something that states would decide on.
Absolutely. And that ended up being one of the big, and still is one of the big, focal points of the battle over health care nowadays. And so the AG's lawsuit, which originally was seen as kind of totally out of left field, like there's no way that that's going to succeed, they ended up having that surprising victory and really changing health care policy and politics pretty dramatically.
So now you come to what we're seeing now. What are some of the issues that attorneys general have agreed on across the country now?
AGs, and particularly Democratic AGs, have collaborated on a number of issues already just in the first few months of the Trump administration. One of the most prominent ones right from the beginning was the lawsuit targeting the so-called travel ban, which is going to be reviewed by the Supreme Court in the coming months. But in addition to that, there's been a number of other issues as well. A number of AGs have gotten involved in the fight over so-called sanctuary cities. So cities that are under threat from the Trump administration of losing money if they don't aggressively enforce immigration law, a number of AGs have come to those cities' defense. In a number of other issues, particularly environmental issues, we've seen a lot of activity already dealing with methane rules and pesticide labeling and greenhouse gases. In addition to all of that, too, there was that interesting lawsuit about a month ago filed by two Democratic AGs in Maryland and in the District of Columbia that sued Trump directly, saying that he's violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, the clause of the Constitution that doesn't come up very often, even in constitutional law classes.
They were claiming that he's benefiting financially from his office.
Right, and that his benefiting from his office is actually harming the state's interests. One advantage that AGs have when they bring these lawsuits, and it's an advantage that, say, private interest groups don't have, is that they have a lot more claim to what's called standing, which is saying, hey, we actually have a lawsuit, we've suffered a harm, and we should be able to enter court and bring this lawsuit.
Well, now, when you talk about Maryland's Attorney General Brian Frosch, who's launched a lot of lawsuits involving the president, he joined, as you said, D.C.'s Attorney General Carl Racine. This was the suit alleging that President Trump was benefiting from foreign governments because of his hotel and golf businesses that they might then stay at, members of foreign governments. Well, in the case of the Maryland AG, his legislature passed a budget line giving him $1 million a year to hire lawyers for the lawsuits he's involved in. Is that usual?
This is something that's occurred more and more often. and kind of going in both directions. So in the Maryland example you just mentioned, you had a pretty friendly legislature encouraging the AG through additional budgeting and so forth to bring these lawsuits. In some other states where the legislature is controlled by the opposite party of the AG, there's been a lot of conflict over lawsuits that the AG is getting involved in. Or even ones that they're not getting involved in, saying that they should be suing the administration. And this was common during the Obama administration. So this is something that, especially in the last few years, like that second half of the Obama administration, it's really opened up this big polarized partisan back and forth between state legislatures, governors, and the attorneys general.
Well, you say the states have standing. One would say, well, how could the states have standing in something like President Trump violating the Emoluments Clause? And I'm noticing that it's Maryland and D.C. So are they saying that their standing is that their businesses would suffer because President Trump's hotel might draw the foreign dignitaries and it would disadvantage the local businesses? Is that what's their standing?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically getting at it. The idea is that by having essentially guests staying in the Trump branded hotels, it is taking away business that would go to state or city controlled entities or hotels. So convention centers, for instance, owned by the city, the District of Columbia, or owned by Maryland. And what's interesting here is that the lawsuit tracked almost exactly a former lawsuit that was filed a few months before this by an advocacy group called CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. But one of the big flaws of that lawsuit that a number of people had pointed out as soon as it was filed is, hey, what's your standing? How can you say that CRU has been harmed in any way by Trump's alleged Emoluments Clause violation? And so Maryland and D.C. stepped in here to try to bolster that part of the lawsuit.
Well, Maryland's Frosch, and then New York's Eric Schneiderman, and Massachusetts' Maura Healey, all these AGs, have been some of the most outspoken and are involved with some of the most lawsuits. But there are critics who say this is political, that they're using it for gain and for their own political aspirations. As you look at the suits and you look at what states are doing, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to deny that it's political in some sense. If you look at the lineup in these lawsuits, it's pretty much all Democratic AGs that are bringing these lawsuits against Trump. And during the Obama years, it was pretty much all Republican AGs that were bringing these lawsuits. So you see a lot of this big partisan split, I think. I do think that it's not just about cutting out a public profile and getting public attention for run for higher office. I mean, that certainly plays into some of the calculation here, I think. But I think it's because AGs really have embraced their new national role in a way that these actors realize they can really make a difference and pursue what they see as good policy.
Well, and some of these AGs, and we've, heard from them, it's not just that they feel that, they want to score points. They genuinely feel that things like climate change, for instance, are imperative to their state's survival. And so they're going to go their own way or sue the president if he doesn't.
Absolutely.
So then you have Charles Krauthammer, one of the most conservative commentators, writing in the National Review. His piece is entitled "The Revolt of the Attorneys General," that this is a good thing, that it's a good thing that, Republican AGs blocked President Obama's executive order that would have essentially legalized 4 million illegal immigrants. These were the parents of the Dreamers. And that it's also a good thing that Democrats are now doing it because it is, he writes, a reassuring sign of the creativity and suppleness to the American Constitution, of its amphibian capacity to grow a new limb when an old one atrophies. And the old one, he says, is Congress that just isn't doing its job.
Yeah, and I think that there's something to that. I mean, one of the geniuses of federalism, even going back to the time of the framing of the Constitution, one of the big arguments that James Madison made was that, hey, federalism and separation of powers provides something of a double security to the liberties of the people. And I think this is a modern example of that. I do think one concern with all of this activity, though, is that a lot of times you expect politics to be kind of, at least somewhat transparent and being so the public can follow along and know who's doing what. But when a lot of the activity over environmental law and immigration and health care, when it starts moving to the courts, things start getting very complicated and very difficult to follow, even though the litigation has a huge impact on American politics. And so one concern that I do have, again, is that as activity moves out of Congress, let's say Congress is stalemated and they can't do anything, then there's a concern that moving it to the courts is not really ultimately great for democracy and or great for transparency either.
Yeah. Paul Nolet, a professor of political science at Marquette, also author of Federalism on Trial, State Attorneys General and National Policymaking in Contemporary America. Professor, thanks so much.
Thank you.